And the Lord Jesus said, until the time that I come again, I want you to share the responsibility in sowing the seed of the Word of God.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
America has a rich history because America is a land that has been seeded with the Word of God. You cannot visit Washington, D.C. without being impressed with the fact that the founders were men and women who knew the Bible. On our sacred monuments, in our buildings, in Washington, D.C., you'll see the scriptures etched from wall to wall to wall. I recall being in Washington, D.C. a few years ago for the inauguration of President Bush. We were asked by one of our congressmen to come and say a word of prayer for a dinner later that evening. And I remember standing amidst the crowd, most of whom I did not know, feeling a bit out of place. And as I stood there getting ready to pray, I looked behind me there on the wall of the Rayburn Building was the verse, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Suddenly, I felt quite at home, knowing that God's Word was on the wall just behind me. And how true that is. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. Historically, America has been a land where the seed of the Word of God has been preached, and the Word of God has fallen onto good soil. That is, it has fallen onto open hearts. Men and women have received the Bible as it is in truth, the Word of God, and they have endeavored to apply it to their lives. And as this happened throughout our history, God indeed blessed America. Some of you are familiar with the man by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville. De Tocqueville was a French writer who visited America in 1831. In 1831, he wrote, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests. And it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning. And it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless constitution. And it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." I wonder if Alexis de Tocqueville visited America today, if he would find pulpits flaming with righteousness. I wonder if America would be what he thought it once would become. My friends, this morning, America is only great when America is good. And as we see the moral fiber of this land changing, as we see men in the high courts in San Francisco redefining what God has already defined concerning the family, we must be very concerned for our nation today. The Lord Jesus Christ came to a nation. It was the nation of Israel. He began speaking to them concerning the truth of His deity, of His coming kingdom. As He spoke, His messages fell on very different types of hearts. Different responses were obvious throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you'll notice in your Bible, in chapter 12 and verse 24, one of the responses that Jesus received is quite astounding to me. Jesus had just cast a demon out of a demon-possessed man. And the Bible says in verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." In other words, the religious leaders of the day said, the power of Jesus Christ came from the devil himself. My friend, as Jesus simply sowed the seed of truth, oftentimes his response was blasphemous Oftentimes the response was from hard-hearted hearers who wanted nothing to do with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after a season of experiencing such mixed response, some who were very receptive, some who were very hard-hearted, Jesus gives this parable. It is the parable of the sower and the seed. And we see three components in the message today. We see the faithful sower, the Lord Jesus, sowing the seed of truth. We see the fruitful word. The word of God is the seed that will bring change. And then we'll see finally this morning the fertile soil. In other words, unless our hearts are prepared, unless our hearts are receptive, the seed of God has no effect. We must have hearts of faith to receive the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, this morning, the faithful sower. The Bible says in verse 3, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus has spread the seed. Jesus Christ is the faithful sower. John the Baptist before him. Now Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, was proclaiming the deity, the fact that he alone was the way, the truth, and the life. Mark it in your minds, please. The message of Jesus was an exclusive message. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I believe it was Patrick Henry who wrote in his memoirs, "America was not founded by religionists in general, but by Christians who profess faith in the teaching of the New Testament." Oh, we thank God for our Christian heritage in America. Jesus Christ sowed the seed during his earthly ministry. The Bible says in Luke 8 and verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Jesus would sow the message, and then he would perform miracles such as the feeding of the 5,000, such as raising Lazarus from the dead. He performed these miracles to validate his message. They were a sign to the unbelievers who did not trust in the message of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this morning, not only has Jesus spread the seed, but notice secondly, Jesus has shared the responsibility of spreading the seed. He has shared this responsibility. He has entrusted it to us. Jesus said, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." And in the latter years of his ministry, he began to challenge his disciples to take the seed of the gospel. For the time would come when he would die on an old rugged cross. On the third day he would raise up again according to the scriptures, where he is seated even at this very moment at the right hand of God the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, "Until the time that I come again, I want you to share the responsibility in sowing the seed of the Word of God." Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, "The sower soweth the Word." Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." 22 years ago, this next week, Terry and I moved to Lancaster. We began working with a congregation of around 20 people. We did not have an organized Sunday school. We did not have a staff. We did not even receive a salary for the first 16 months of our ministry here. We did not have much, but we did have the seed of the Word of God. One day I sat down at my desk and I wrote on a piece of paper some information about our church, and on the back I wrote some Bible verses. I went over to the printer not far from here, a Hart printer. I don't know if they're still in business, but I walked in and I said, "Sir, my name's Paul Chappell and I'm pastor now of the Lancaster Baptist Church." And I said, "I've written out some things on a piece of yellow paper I'd like to say to our community about our church and about the Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, I know this is going to sound strange to you, but I'd like to ask you, sir, if you would print about 5,000 of these for me. I said, "Now I need to let you know I don't have money to pay for the bill right now. But if you'll print these 5,000 brochures, I give you my word that in 30 days I'll return back to your place of business and I'll pay you for these brochures." He looked at what I had written. He kind of mumbled under his breath. He said, "All right." He said, "I'll go ahead and print them for you." He printed 5,000 gospel brochures. I came back a few days later and got those brochures. And I began to go from house to house knocking on doors, spreading the seed, sharing the gospel, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ, inviting people to come and hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you that some 22 years later, our message is still the same, the seed is still as powerful, and the need to get the message out is ever so great. You see, what made America great was the sowing of the seed in the early days. I'm told that during the early 1800s, some 70% of all Americans not only believed in God, but they attended a church where they heard the Word of God preached. Oh, how we need a return to this in this day in which we live. Jesus has given to us the responsibility to reseed America. Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." Psalm 126, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I thank God for a church family that for 22 years has gone throughout this community through the bus ministry. Some 13 buses went out today and brought in several hundred boys and girls. Through our missionaries, 165 missionaries supported by Lancaster Baptist Church. Through our Sunday school program, going from place to place and home to home, simply sharing the seed of the gospel. Oh, the faithful sower is Jesus Christ, and he invites us to sow the seed in this needy hour. But I want you to notice with me, secondly, this morning, the fruitful seed. The fruitful seed. The Bible says in verse number 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." Now notice this phrase, "the word of the kingdom." Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 says this, the parable is this, "The seed is the word of God." The seed is the word of God. I think of the early founders of our nation. John Quincy Adams said it this way, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." How we thank God today for the seeding that we notice in the early hours of this country. But I want you to know today that the seed is still powerful and we still must sow it in our nation at this hour. Two things about the seed. First, it is a life-giving seed. The Word of God is a life-giving seed. Would you turn in your Bible or look in your notes to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, and we'll learn more about the seed of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord does what? Endureth for how long? Forever." Forever. Now notice again verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of the Lord which liveth and abideth forever." This word that we preach this morning, this gospel, that is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is a living seed. And when it is planted by faith into the heart of man, it changes lives and it produces fruit. And we are seeing a lack in the crop of righteous living in America because there is a lack of sowing the seed in America. I was speaking to a Christian businessman not long ago, and he's a fine man, and he gives charitably to organizations that are good and somewhat Christian. But these organizations are not remotely attached to the seed sowing of which I speak this morning. I was challenging him towards the need of West Coast Baptist College and sharing with him that we are sending hundreds of young people around the world to do one single thing, and that is to sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the number one priority of the local church, and it is life-giving seed that we are sharing. It is not dead, but it is powerful, and it is life-changing. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I thank God for the hundreds, yea, the thousands of lives that we have seen changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ in these 22 years. It is a life life-giving seed. But notice, secondly, it is a life-changing seed. This seed that Jesus spread, this seed that must be spread again in our great land, will change lives. Notice, if you would, in verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Notice in verse 23, but he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and also beareth fruit. Now, my friend, when someone is saved through the seed, when they are born again through the seed of the word of God, and remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when someone is saved, now they can produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened in Timothy's life. Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He said this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. God's word brings about a great change in the life of men. Now, why the emphasis on the seed this morning? Listen carefully. Because religion oftentimes, and yes, in America today, religion generally is not emphasizing the seed like it once did. America's early days were filled in our writings, replete with references to God and the scriptures, because it was the primary text in the schoolhouse and in the church house, of course, the teaching of the Word of God. USA Today had an article that I'll speak more about tonight in the message on the old paths, but I read this past week. The article said, Americans happy with many paths, pluralism. That's the age in which we live. And they said in this particular article, religion now in America has a new anthem. No longer do people sing, give me that old-time religion. What they're singing is, don't fence me in. And the survey, which was conducted by the Pew Research Corporation, said that in the United States, adults range far from knowing or caring about the distinctive teachings of their professed faith. You no longer have an alignment of affiliation, belief, and behavior. The chief correspondents and reporters in this particular survey, Pew survey, said, and I quote, you have to wonder, how do you guarantee the integrity of religious tradition when so many people are coming and going and their ideas do not match up? Frank Page of Taylor, South Carolina said, I'm a pastor in the real world. I see this every day, people coming and going from faith to faith, from belief to belief. Page is the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the nation's largest Protestant denomination. He said, concerning their growth statistics, they are pitiful. By the way, that's true along many different lines in the day in which we live. Page said, and I quote, the gospel was once clearly preached in virtually every Protestant church. It is now rarely heard in the 21st century. The number who teach a clear doctrinal Christianity are in the minority today. How would people know how to be saved if they have never heard how to be saved? And that's from the president of a large conservative denomination in America. Michael Lindsay of Rice University added, Americans believe in everything. It's a spiritual salad bar. Now listen carefully. There is a difference between knowing about general spirituality. There is a difference between pluralism and giving assent to all teachings and coming back to the basic of the seed of the Word of God and saying, I believe the Bible, God's Word, is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And yet Americans are more and more open towards Eastern religion, Eastern mysticism, and all various different faith styles. And we're seeing the reflection of this turning away from the Bible in our society today. The article went on. Rather than religious leaders setting the cultural agenda today, it's Oprah Winfrey. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, the National Memorial Service was conducted in Washington's National Cathedral. After the 9/11 attack, Oprah Winfrey organized the official memorial service at Yankee Stadium and invited, as you know, clergy from all different realms of faith. The impact of Oprah is seen throughout the survey. She uses the language of the Bible and Christian traditions, but she includes other traditions to create, quote, a hodgepodge personalized faith. exclusivism, the idea that one religion has absolute truth, has gotten a bad name in America today. It's no longer in vogue, it's no longer popular to be exclusively a child of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you'll find that with all this religious talk, there's very little about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the hope for heaven, the escaping of hell. Exclusive preaching like that is no longer popular. Quote, overall, people say they are religious, but they have no command of theology or doctrine. It is an empty religiosity. What I'm simply saying to you this morning is this. If you will open up your heart and let the seed of the Word of God come into your heart, and if you will hear the Word of God, it is a life-changing seed, the Word of God. And as you grow in the teachings of God's Word, you'll begin to see the production of fruit in your life, fruit like holiness. God will begin to bring holiness into your life through His Word, Romans 6:23. Now being made free from sin, you have become the servants of God, and you have the fruit unto holiness. Things like Christian character. You see, God's Word develops Christian character. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And how we thank God for families who still emphasize the Word and have their children in the right types of educational settings that would help them to grow in Christian character. George Washington, our first president, said, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. In other words, we cannot expect America to be a great nation if we are not seeing a growth spiritually from the Word of God. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. This comes from the application of the Word of God and growth in the Spirit of God. Terry and I this past week took one morning, I said, let's go out to a park, and we took a small library with us this past week, and we grabbed some books with us, and we sat at a bench, and while we were seated there, there were some children playing not far from us, and they were playing with like a little playhouse, and the one little boy had to go. So his mom said, all right, Johnny, let's go. He took his toy, and he started following his mom, and the other boy threw a fit. You know what a fit is, don't you? It's something way beyond just crying. I mean, the blood veins were popping out, and he was saying, my toy, my toy. Now, it wasn't his toy, but he was throwing a fit about it. Well, this lady said, you know, my son needs to learn how to share. We'll stay for a few more minutes. So she turns around, and she brings her son. She says, now, you share. And of course, he didn't really want to, but his mom was telling him to. So he gave the little toy to the other boy, and the other boy just grabbed that toy and turned away like this. And his mother said, now, he's sharing with you. He's trying to be nice to you. What do you say to him? He looked at that boy and said, mine! You know, that spirit is prevalent in our country today. And it cannot be broken apart from spiritual growth through the teaching of the Word of God. Holiness, character, good works, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. All of these are the fruit of the seed of the Word of God. And we must reseed our country with the teachings of the Word of God if we are going to see revival in this land. The faithful sower is Jesus Christ, sowing the truth. And He's called us to sow the truth. And then we see not only the faithful sower, but we see the fruitful seed. And I'm so tired today of sociologists who say, the problem in the world is with religion. That's the problem in the world. My friend, nothing could be farther from the truth. You show me where this seed has been sown, and I will show you hospitals that have been built, and orphanages that have been established, and schools that have been raised up, and drug addicts that have been made whole, and prostitutes that have turned away from their life of ill repute. You show me where the Word of God has been sown. I will show you where lives have been changed. I would take you to Mexico to one of our graduates today, Brother Chase there in Mexico, establishing an orphanage for children found abandoned on the street. I would take you to the Philippines, where Brother Rick Martin, due to the typhoon that just came through, is helping now to rebuild more than 50 churches that were completely wiped out. He's running from place to place, giving money and bringing supplies to get the church houses built back up. I would take you to Papua New Guinea, where Brother and Mrs. Gary Keck are teaching people right now how to read so that then they can learn from the Bible so that they can then be saved. Don't tell me that religion is the problem in the world today. I'm saying the answer to the problem is the seed of the Word of God. It is a fruitful seed, and it still changes lives when it is preached and taught and obeyed. But notice, we must not only have the faithful sower and the fruitful seed, but we need the fertile soil today. And this brings it home to each and every one of us. The Word of God must find itself in fertile soil. Verse number 18, the Bible says, you hear therefore the parable of the sower. We begin to see the different kinds of soils. We see in verse number 4, there was one that sowed, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Here we see the first type of soil, and that is the hard soil. As Jesus sowed the seed, some of the response was very hard. The Pharisees said, "He's of the devil. You can't get any harder than that." To point to the Son of God and say, "He's of the devil." And by the way, if someone's not kind to you when you try to talk about the Lord, don't be completely shocked. They were not always kind to Him. But we see the hard soil. Notice the Bible says there in verse number 4, when He sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. In the Palestinian countryside, there were many small footpaths around the fields. The fields were kept tilled up and prepared, but the pathways were many times very hard, and sometimes the seed would fall on the pathway, and there it would have little chance of germination or ever bearing fruit. This is a picture of the hard-hearted man. Hosea says of him in chapter 10 and verse 12, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Have you ever met someone like that? They're just hard. I thank the Lord that here in the Antelope Valley, most people are at least somewhat receptive to talk about the Lord. But I've had a few people take a seed or a gospel tract that's been given to them and just do like that. Their heart is hard. Their heart is like the dry lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base. I mean, you can throw seed out, but there's no reception there. Sometimes they scoff and they mock the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, the hardened soil. Many hearts in America are hard like this. But there's a second type of soil, and that is the stony soil. Verse 5 speaks of it. Some fell upon stony places. And when we look into the Palestinian countryside and we begin to do a little study about the soil there, much of it was stony. There was a foundation known as a limestone type of foundation that was very stony, and the rocks would come up many times through the soil. This speaks of a very shallow heart. This is the type of seed that might get down there into that soil, maybe a half of an inch or less, and it was filled not with soil but surrounded by the stones. Many times this person in Jesus' ministry would have had an emotional response, but not a true heart of repentance, not a true heart of faith. It was shallow. It was for the moment. They were excited about the feeding of the 5,000. They were interested in the miracles, but it was really a very shallow profession. By the way, God has called us to sow the seed. We cannot know exactly what the response will be. There will be different kinds of hearts, and sometimes people do show an initial interest, but then they fall on the wayside and never truly were born again. The Bible speaks in this parable about the sun, verse 6. The sun would come up and it would scorch what little fragment of a plant had tried to grow. And may I say to you that there are many people who will make a profession in Jesus, but when the trials come into their life, like the sun shining on this little plant, they will be blown away. And one of the great tests of your faith is when the trials come. And one of the reasons I know that there are many wonderful Christians in this church is because I have seen you go through the trials. I've been with you in the hospitals. I've been with you in the funeral parlors. And we have seen during those times the faith of God's people stay stronger and stronger. But someone that was shallow in their profession, we've seen the opposite. We've seen them just blown away because they were never truly born again. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, wanting nothing." You see, a mature Christian says, "Lord, I don't want this trial to be wasted. Lord, let this trial help me to grow stronger and stronger in you." And oh, today we see the stony soil many times in our nation. But notice there's a third type. It's the thorny soil. Notice in verse 7 the Bible says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 24:3. He said, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." We see oftentimes people who the seed is thrown towards them, or the preaching or a gospel tract, there's some interest. But then the thorns come in. What are the thorns? Notice, if you would, over in verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now look right here. This is speaking primarily of salvation. That is, those that see the seed, but now the thorns of this world choke that seed out and they never get saved. But there's an application to those of you that are saved. And that is that while you have had life and you've been bearing some fruit, those thorns oftentimes of sin, the cares of this world, will choke us out to the point that we're not bearing fruit like we once did. And I want to encourage you to have a heart that is weed-free so that you will bear fruit for Jesus Christ. When I was a young man, I used to work every summer out on the farm in Colorado. My granddad, he took great pride in having his fields would have straight rows and no weeds. And I mean to tell you what, before I ever learned how to drive a John Deere tractor, I would show up in the summer and he would give me a hoe. That was my official tool. And he would say, "I want you to take this out in the field and I want you to look for bindweed and Canadian thistle." Just to honor my granddad, I brought some Canadian thistle here this morning. He said, "Now this weed right here," he said, "I have seen it take over hundreds of acres and destroy the farms of those who did not fight it diligently." And he said, the bindweed or the Canadian thistle will take the crops away and the ability for crops to grow. And he said, "We've got to keep this out." He said, at harvest time, we don't want these big weeds in the combine. We want those completely out of the field. And what I want you to recognize today is that the cares of this world and the sins of this world will choke out the things of God and the fruitfulness of God's Word in your life. And that's why we need the preaching of the Word of God. And that's why we need to take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and hack those weeds off right down to the root. Boy, my granddad always said, "Get them at the root." I think I've pulled thousands of these weeds and thrown them off the edge of the field. Why? Because we wanted to produce fruit in the pinto bean fields of southwest Colorado. But I'm saying this, if you want fruit in your life, you don't want to just be a part of the amalgamation of New Age religion in America, but you want the old time religion and you want the old path and the right kind of fruit, then make sure that you pluck up those sinful seeds and those things that would choke out God's righteousness from coming and working in your life. Oh, it may be a friend that pulls you down. It may be some old habit that pulls you away. Make sure you cut it at the root. And then notice finally with me this morning, the fertile soil. The fertile soil. The Bible speaks of it in verse 8. "But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. As Jesus shared the gospel, sometimes it fell on hard ground, sometimes stony ground, sometimes it fell into a weed patch. But when it fell into good ground, something good happened. Now, this is something all of us should be concerned about. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, oh, that you would open your heart to Him today. Amen. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, that you would keep your heart fertile and ready for the Word of God. The fertile ground represents the receptive heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain wise counsels." A wise man will hear and receive the Word of God. James 1:21 challenges us to receive with meekness the Word of God. Now think just for a moment and we'll be done. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, at that moment you were experiencing a moment of humility and a moment of meekness. After all, you were saying, "Lord, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. You're right. You're the Savior. I want you to come into my heart." That, my friend, is fertile, receptive ground when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, let's not begin our Christian life in humility and try to live our Christian life in pride. But if we started in humility before the Lord, then each and every day, let's break up the ground of our heart and say, "Lord, I want to receive more. I want more of your seed. I want more of your word. I can't bear fruit on my own, but as I hear from your word what you want me to do, Lord, help me to bear that fruit each and every day." If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you consider today your need for His seed? And would you receive the seed of His glorious gospel today and be saved? Perhaps you're here today and you're a Christian and you need to turn away from some of the thorns and some of the entanglements of this world, some of the old friends that'll just tear you down. Oh, I encourage you to do whatever it takes today. And finally, I ask all of you this morning, and I'll have the ushers after service to have gospel tracts ready. How many are here this morning who say, Pastor Chapel, I agree with you. America needs a reseeding of the Word of God. And somehow in these next several weeks, by the grace of God, I want to get the gospel to someone else. I want them to know more about Jesus. I want to help reseed my nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the parable of the seed and the sower. And I ask this morning, Lord, that you'd help us to apply this message to our own lives. Help us to be changed because of it, I ask.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk. A word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.